You're listening to the Youth Crit Podcast on KHZ Network. Find us on Facebook at DecibelUNG Radio and find us on Twitter at DecibelUNG. If you like this episode, please leave a like and comment on our iTunes page at KHZ Network. And now for the podcast.
Just starting your day, or did you just get off?
They call, I go, you know.
So what is it you do?
I'm a driver.
Oh, like a chauffeur. Anyone I'd know?
I hope not.
What is your name?
Baby.
Your name's Baby. B-A-B-Y, Baby.
It's the one who say listen to the music all the time.
Is he mental?
Mental meaning slow. Was he slow?
No.
He had an accident when he was a kid. Still has a hum in the drum. Plays music to drown it out. And that's what makes him the best. Whoa, 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 whoa!
One more job and I'm done.
One more job and we're straight.
Now, I don't think I need to give you the speech about what happens when you say no, how I can break your legs and kill everyone you love, because you already know that, don't you?
Yeah.
The moment you catch feelings is the moment you catch a bullet.
And your waitress girlfriend, she's cute. Let's keep it that way.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Youth Critic Podcast. I'm your host, Kiel Smith. Joining me today is Kate.
Hi.
And today we are going to be going over our top five lists of 2017. We made lists, and for the consolidation of this episode, we're just going to talk about our top five favorite movies. We might talk a little bit about honorable mentions in a little bit. But other than that, we'll end the show with our most anticipated of 2018. But for now, Kate, I just want to ask you... what stood out for you in 2018? Before you say your number five, what stood out to you about 2018 a lot?
2017?
Or 2017, sorry.
A lot of it was just a lot of action movies, I've noticed. Like, this was the year of comics, in my opinion. And this year will be the year of comics. Like, 2018 will be as well. But, like, I noticed how we were all... Guardians of the Galaxy, Get Out, Logan, Kong, Power Rangers, and the Fate and the Furious, Snatched, Alien Covenant. Like, all these movies are action-packed, and yes, they are other subgenres, but that's, like, one of the big things that I noticed. It's, like, there weren't a lot of romantic comedies that were good, or animations that were good, like... Emoji Movie, but
right, yeah, it was a little stale in the kids department, but I mean,
Coco was good,
and recently snubbed at the Oscars, the Lego Batman movie.
Yes,
that movie got so snubbed, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Hey,
Pewter, just do that on Siri.
Yeah, it's and for me, what stood out is. I mean, just every month I feel like I gave an A to a movie. Sometimes two or three different movies.
Yeah.
I mean, when we were in the thick of the summer, June wasn't that big on me. One of my movies that we're going to talk about did come out in June, but June and I think September and probably November as well were the only months where I think I didn't give a lot of A's. Every other month, it was like, I gave an A here, I gave an A. So it just felt like great quality was coming out. That doesn't mean 2017 wasn't without its, you know, shit. Looking at you, 50 Shades Darker, The Book of Henry, I did not see the Emoji Movie, but I'm still looking at you.
It's one of the worst movies I have ever seen, and I have seen pretty bad movies. It is probably, you know how The Room was like awful when it first came out?
Oh no, it can't be that bad.
It was worse than that.
Oh God, okay, wow.
And like, it's cute for a kid. Like, my cousins love watching that movie, and they're like 4 or 5. But like, going in and looking at it, story-wise, it was just, get your game up.
Yeah, and and Book of Henry was pretty awful. Like, it was awful in every sense. I'll say this, it was great. The cast was perfect. The acting was great in that movie. It was just the story didn't come together the way I think they were hoping. And then, of course, 50 Shades Darker is 50 Shades Darker. And the less said about the 50 Shades franchise, the better. But anyway, going on to our top five, Kate, what was your number five pick?
My number five, like five being like my least, like favorite, but like at the bottom of the list?
Yes, of the bottom of the top five.
I would have to say probably...
By the way, I have not seen this list, by the way, so...
A Dog's Purpose.
You really like that movie.
I cried every 5 minutes, but I love that movie.
Were you crying? Now,
granted, I'm a huge crybaby when it comes to dogs. Like, I still cannot watch Marley and Me to this day. I have banned it. Any other dog, like Old Yeller, like all those classic dog movies, I have banned from my house. And I stupidly thought I could make it through A Dog's Purpose.
Jordan and I are going to have a day where we sit you down and watch Marley and Me. And Old Yeller.
Fuck you. That's all I have to say. Just fuck you guys.
But
my number four, though.
Well, hold on just a second. Okay, go ahead. Well, On Dog's Purpose, I did not see it, so I don't have anything to comment on that movie. But as far as... But let me ask you this. Was Josh Gad, right?
Yes.
How did he portray all the dogs in particular?
So, like, the story-wise is... Spoiler alert, but you should have already seen the movie.
Well, it's in the trailer.
Yeah. So, it's... He, like, one moment, he's this golden retriever. And then when he has lived his life along with this little boy, they have to put him down. So, and then he transforms into, I think, a corgi next.
Mm-hmm.
And he's still a boy, but, like, they changed genders. And the way that he uses his voice and tells a story without hardly any of, like, the main, like, human actors talking. What got me was the German Shepherd,
right?
Because she was a police dog, and her owner wife left him with the kids, and because he was so into his work. And like, oh my gosh,
sure.
Like when the dog died, I like internally had to leave the theater and cry, and I finally went back after it was over. But like stuff like that where I can make a connection and know that it gets better in the end. Like, the story was great. It was well thought out. And Josh Gad was the perfect role for that.
Awesome. So, I'm going into my number five. And we're going to go five. Then I forgot to tell Kate the structure of this.
Yeah, I just came in here blindly.
We're figuring out the structure as well. We're making it up as we go along. But my number five was Dunkirk.
Really?
I love Dunkirk.
That's like my number six.
Really?
Yeah. Why did you like Dunkirk? I guess I should be asking.
I love Dunkirk because it's like the perfect, it's like, I can't describe it. As someone who is a screenwriter and also wants to be a director, writing a script in the way you would write Dunkirk is such a challenge because you can't balance, because all it is just, I mean, there's dialogue in the movie, but all it is just action, 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 action lines. The characters are doing this now. It's direction. It's that kind of thing. So to direct, so to, you know, to write it and then also keep, you know, everything going and engaging, and also creating two other subplots that are on different, you know, times, different, like, I guess time purposes, timelines.
Mm-hmm.
I thought was brilliant. I thought in how it all merged together at the, I guess, hour and 30 minute mark was just brilliant. And also, it's an emotionally, you know, beautifully emotionally well done movie. I mean, I always have teary eyes when I see Tom Hardy just gliding on the beaches of Dunkirk.
And did we see that together at the IMAX?
No, we did not. But I did see it. Well, I saw it in just regular IMAX, not the seven. Our IMAX theater here in Beaufort didn't have it working at the time. But as far as the movie is concerned, I found it beautifully emotional. Like, yeah, there's a lack of characters, and there's a lack of character development, I should say, and lack of, you know, plot. Like, the plot is just, you know, everyone's just trying to leave this island or this beach.
Yeah.
But it's just all compelling. Like, the way Nolan brought it all together is just compelling to me, I thought, and it's emotional. And I heard, I think it was Ralph the Movie Maker describe it as anxiety attack the movie.
Yeah, because I remember, because at some parts, because I went to go see it with Jordan, and like at some parts it felt so real that I was holding on to his arm for most of the time because I was afraid that I was going to get hit by the airplane.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really cool. I love like how it was. Like, you can look at it and, like, be fully immersed into the story and the scenery and, like, know, like, you know where you're at. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It the geography, everything is perfect. And I wanted to make sure before I put it on the list, you know, to make sure that it could also work at home, too, because for me, I think one of the reasons why I fell in love with it instantly and got with its rhythm is because I saw it in IMAX and I was surrounded by that loud, you know, immersive surround sound mixed with, you know, the picture being blown up.
Yeah.
Full screen. But, you know, I wanted to make sure, at home it worked, and I saw it at home on Blu-ray, and it still is compelling. It's great. You might have to turn the sound up and down because especially if you're, you know, not especially if you're not alone in your house. But, yeah, I think it's a perfect, immaculate, well-made film. So, Kate, what's your number four?
Okay, this one's hard. I had to really think about it. I guess my number four is Sing.
That came out in 2016.
Oh, it did? I thought it came out. Oh, yeah, it did. No, then it's Split.
Okay, great.
Oh my God, I love this movie. I will sit down and watch it over and over and over again and like kind of analyze it. If you haven't seen Split, go watch it.
This was also in my top 20 as well. It was number 14. It was, believe me, I still love all the top 20 movies are A+, in my opinion. But I love Split a lot because it's just so well directed. It's well crafted.
Yeah. I love M. Night Shyamalan. I love him. I love his brain, I guess I should say. And the way that he thinks of these things, I would never think of. And right. It's a good continuation of the story. And like he really gets into the scientific part of scientific and psychology wise. Of how like
he develops it and immerses you, gets you on the boat.
Yeah.
Very well.
Yeah, exactly. But I think just like I can't remember what's the lead actor's name?
James McAvoy.
Oh boy, he is hot. I mean, if you look at him in his other movies, he's kinda like that lanky nerd. But then for like this movie, they're like, you have to buff up. And didn't he do like most of his stunts on his own?
I'm not sure, but I would think so.
Yeah, because like there's one part where he like climbs up a wall, which I'm pretty sure that's like heavily rigged, but that was cool, in my opinion. But
it's Split, it works so well because you buy into, it's not, you know, exploitive of people with mental illness. Or I don't think it is, because you feel for the character, you feel for Kevin Wendell Crom and all of his personalities in him. You feel for him, and there's even moments where they all get personalities, like, and where they all, like, share a little bit of their personality, and there's one personality that talks to the therapist and is like, is there still someone out there that cares? It's fighting for us, you know, wanting to help us. Because the whole idea, the whole reason why the Beast emerges is because it's fed up, you know, all the personalities are kind of fed up of being ignored or being treated, you know, terribly. And that's how the, and really I look at Split as a cautionary tale. I don't think any of this could actually happen, but in a kind of a hyperbolic sense, I think it's a cautionary tale of what happened when we ignore and, you know, degrade, you know, people, degrade people of, you know, of, that are different than us, people that have been, you know, especially people that have been abused, like Anya Taylor-Joy's character. And so I thought it was just perfect for that vehicle. And of course it has probably the best stinger of all time with the Unbreakable twist.
Yeah.
So
it's just everything about it really, I left the theater thinking.
Yeah.
Like, what can I do to help?
And that's perfect. And not only, and for me, not only did I leave, you know, what thinking that as well, but I also left with wanting a new, I wanted more. And I, and every time I have seen the movie, I've gotten more.
Yeah, because like every time I, because we watched it, like I think on Halloween, mm-hmm. and I was watching it, and I really like, I researched, like, his condition, and I researched, like, what happens when a child has been molested. But, like, and I really want to be, like... they experience
some kind of trauma.
Yeah, the traumatic way of a child. But I want it to be, like, what can I do to help these people to feel accepted in the right. world? Like, I will accept you no matter what, unless you screw me over.
Fair.
That's just who I am. But that's like one of the main things, because I looked up everything and I donate a little money every week to help with those funds so they can research and start helping these people.
Yeah. And not only helping them, but giving them the benefits and the respect they need, or yeah. the basic civil respects they deserve.
What is your number four?
My number four pick is probably the most depressing misery porn I have on my list. Or it shouldn't be called misery porn, because it's still a good movie.
What is it?
It Comes at Night.
I never saw that.
Okay.
I heard it was really good, though.
It split people.
Yeah.
It split people because the marketing campaign kind of hinted that there was a monster chasing Joel Egerton and this other family.
Yeah.
And really the movie, I guess this is a mild spoiler. The movie is more what the title refers to when it means it comes at night. It means the paranoia, the nightmares, the dreams that, you know, the haunting images of what they've done in the past to survive. It's, you know, all the fears are coming at night to invade, you know, these two families, Joel Egerton's family and this other family that kind of joins Joel Egerton in, as they try to build a small kind of rebuilding community mm-hmm. in the midst of the apocalypse.
Well, I'll have to definitely add that to my list of mm-hmm. movies I need to watch.
And the reason I say it's misery porn, and not to get into spoilers, is it has a really bleak and unflinching ending, but the film doesn't, I think a lot of people look at The Walking Dead as like hero fantasy for people that are trying to survive the apocalypse, and It Comes at Night does away with that so much because it's so miserable and so dreary, but its ending is, I found it profound and, you know, interesting, provocative, and I felt like it had something to say about the apocalypse and kind of the state of what would happen in humanity if civilization, ceased, essentially.
If you like that movie so much, have you ever heard of In Their Skin?
No.
It's banned in the U.S.
Oh, shit.
I've seen it when I was 14, before it was banned. It's made by IFC. Look it up, watch it, and then we'll talk about it.
All right. I'll see if I can find it.
Because it's really good. Like, it's about this family who moves out in the wilderness,
mm-hmm.
After losing their daughter.
Right.
And then there's this other family that comes in and, like, wants to, quote-unquote, help.
It comes at night. It's a little different, but...
Yeah, it's a little different, but it's the same kind of, like, spooky feeling.
Okay, yeah.
If you want that same feeling, then yeah, it's not post-apocalyptic or anything, but it's like really messed up. It'll really fuck with your brain pretty much.
Awesome. Great. I'm interested now. It'll probably take me some time since it's banned in the U.S.
Yeah.
Where we record our episode.
I think it's still banned, I think, but I could be wrong. Last I checked, it was like maybe 2 years ago. But
was it banned because of like gore or sexual overtones, or
it was banned for everything?
Okay.
Like it's messed up. It's not as messed up as the Human Centipede, I'll tell you that.
Okay.
It's like above that.
All right. Kate, what's number three?
Girls Trip.
Oh, okay. Nice. Why do you love it?
Me and I brought my grandmother and my aunt to go see it.
Oh, boy.
Did you see it?
I did, and I don't know if I would take my grandmother to or any of my grandmothers to see it.
I didn't. I saw it by myself for the first time, and then my aunt was just like, oh, my God, I want to go see this. And I'm like, no, you don't. And they're like, we'll buy your ticket if you go with us. I had to leave the theater.
You were embarrassed.
I was so embarrassed because my grandmother was sitting next to me and I knew the scene was coming up, and then it, arms open, like the coat was off in the movie, and my grandma's like, oh my God! Like everybody could hear her. It was the most funniest thing I've ever seen, but I was the most embarrassed and I had to leave because I was laughing
was
so
this
hard.
A scene where they're at the motel?
Yeah, they're at the motel and the guy
okay
opens like they like
opens a flap because he wants to have sex.
Yeah, and then he rubs his dick all over the aww. The window. It was hilarious. I love Tiffany Haddish.
Hiddish, I think.
Hiddish. I love her. I love her humor. I love the way that she's like, I don't give a fuck about anybody but myself and what I do.
Yeah, I'm happy she's getting, you know,
more
a break,
recognized.
More recognized, and I hope that she gets more work. And she was recently on, and I didn't see the episode, but I recently read she was on Drunk History, I think, last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't seen that episode yet, but I heard it was fantastic. And I think she is Tiffany Haddish. I think that's her name. I think there's an A in there. Mm-hmm. She is really talented, really gifted. I can't wait to see more of her. And not just Tiffany Haddish was great, but the whole cast worked very well in that movie.
Queen Latifah and Jada Pinkett Smith is my homegirls. They are so hilarious. Because, like, I'm used to seeing Jada Pinkett Smith being in, like, Gotham and, like, the hard-ass gangster mob.
Mm-hmm.
And then seeing her as this very conservative, everything's for my babies mm-hmm. type of way was awesome. I loved it. I think she's an amazing actress.
I really enjoyed it. Loved it a lot more than Rough Night, which I think is garbage.
I didn't see Rough Night.
I think Rough Night's garbage. because it somehow is still sexist, but passes the Bechdel test.
That's why I didn't want to go see it.
Or in my opinion, many people think otherwise, but I thought it was so trashy.
It's just the white version of Girls' Night.
Girls' Trip is much more, I know this sounds terrible, but it's more simplistic and much more, we're just having fun. Whereas Rough Night's like, we have to have a conflict. We have to have essentially the Hangover for girls. And I'm like, the Hangover was funny, but it doesn't really age well.
Yeah.
Didn't age well at all.
Another thing with Girls Trip is like, it's relatable.
And that's what I loved about that movie too, is I can buy into all these relationships.
Yeah, because it's like,
or into these characters.
If I ever go on a bachelorette party, I would much rather it be like Girls Trip than Rough Night, because I don't want to deal with a dead stripper on my bachelorette party.
Oh, it gets even more fucked up than that.
I haven't seen it. That's the only thing that I've seen from the trailers, and I'm like, nope, I'm good.
Yeah, and also the jokes are funnier in Girls Trip. It's just, I think, an all-around really good movie. I love the cast. I mean, it's just, the cast work together. I can't say enough good things about Girls Trip, and I'm happy to see it made one of our lists.
Yeah, see, okay, here's the thing. With our friend group, since I'm the only girl, pretty much.
Of our Sausage Fest, yeah.
Yeah. I am like Jada Pinkett Smith's character. I'm like, okay, you guys cannot take care of yourselves, so we have to do A, B, C, and D. But when I'm with my girls, I'm like Tiffany Haddish.
I think it's Haddish.
Haddish. I am like Tiffany.
I'm sorry if we butchered it.
I'm very sorry.
Because you really are talented.
And I'm like, I don't do the drugs thing, by the way. That I am like crazy. I'm like, let's go do stuff. Let's go skydiving, or let's go to the roller coaster and like not put our our stuff on for safety. I'm that chick.
Yeah.
I get cray cray.
Yeah. I guess I'm more of the Jada Pinkett Smith of our group.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. It'll be.
Jordan is very Queen Latifah.
Oh, I thought Jordan would be our Regina Hall.
Yeah, I guess it's a toss up between him and Jared being one of those two.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But they really don't like butt heads. But I mean, in the end of the movie, they're best friends and
yeah,
they work together. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
So. Fair enough.
What's your number three?
My number three is Last Flag Flying. This is Richard Linklater's new Hangout movie, where you have Steve Carell, Bryan Cranston, and Lawrence Fishburne.
Oh.
Yeah, it's that movie.
I didn't see that one.
Where Steve Carell just lost his son in the Iraqi war back in the early 2000s. So it takes place about a decade ago. Decade and a half ago. Yeah. And Bryan Cranston and Lawrence Fishburne are like his former comrades from the Vietnam War. And so they accompany him to pick up his son's body and escort it to back to Steve Carell's hometown, to where they can bury it right next to his wife. And it's about and I love this movie a lot because these three guys are funny together. They're funny. You believe they're characters that had a relationship with each other.
So it was a drama, but it was a good somber drama with a bit of comedy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a good, yeah. And Richard Linklater, I don't know, have you seen Dazed and Confused or Everybody Wants Some?
No, I haven't.
Perfect Hangout movies where the movie relies solely on the characters and their dialogue.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And they just talk about really interesting things, and they talk about things that are happening, you know, back in the 2000s that were modern, like Eminem rapping and the Iraqi war itself. And they were kind of drawing parallels to the Iraqi war and the Vietnam War. And I just found it way more powerful and way more potent as a movie of like describing like what it's, what the Iraqi war really meant, especially, you know, hearing from soldiers that are looking at it from his, from a historical standpoint, from their own history and past.
I guess that's another one I have to put on my list, because that sounds really good the way that you're describing it.
Mm-hmm. And it's not everyone's cup of tea. I mean, it's like, I think it's over 2 hours, and it is, they just go and do a thing and then come back and put Steve Carell's son in the ground, and that's it. I mean, but it's, if you get a chance, it's an incredible sit through. You will laugh, you'll cry at the end. It's a, it's an incredible treat. What was your number? Are we at number?
You're at number two.
What's your number two?
This one's tough.
I know. This was tough for me too.
I guess I have to say Happy Death Day.
Okay. Why do you like that movie?
It's not a horror.
Okay.
It is a comedy. And they advertised it like it was a horror.
Well, it's a slasher film.
Yeah, it's like a slasher film, but it doesn't feel like a slasher film. It's not like Friday the 13th. They're like, oop, tits out, running around, not knowing where to go. It's more like it's been well thought out. And that's what I love about it. It's funny. The main actress is hilarious. She was perfect for this role. And it's an amazing film.
I don't think I love it as much as you do, but it's fun for in the middle, especially when she's trying to figure out.
She's having fun with it.
Yeah, like, when she's having fun with going back and forth, and then the movie kind of has to be like, well, you're going through all this trauma, physical trauma. It's not showing, but your body seems like it's going through trauma. Kind of indicating that, hey, we got to get the plot going. And then the movie wraps itself up, and it's really funny. Like, it is a funny movie, but I still think it's a horror. It's like the balance of horror and comedy.
Yeah, it's like a dark comedy, let's say that.
Sure.
Because I love dark comedies. Like, those are one of my favorite type of genres. Mm-hmm. I either like really gory slasher movies, like Texas Chainsaw, or I like dark comedy. Like, I don't like The Hangover. I hated it. I thought it was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But I liked...
Right.
But then again, I liked Girl Strip because it was well thought out, and it had that dark comedy aspect to it towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, this movie was just kind of like, I don't give a shit. This is how we're going to do it. And, like, the way... And her journey, I thought, was total badass. And I wanted to be like that.
Is this another Jason Blum joint? I want to say it is, but...
I don't know. Let me look it up.
But real quickly, I think Jason Blum has had a really good year in terms of... I mean, had a good year, and he's... Jason Blum did produce it.
Mm-hmm. It's just one of those movies that you can sit down and watch it and not really have to think.
Yeah,
it's a good, just relaxed kind of movie, which is different than the kind of movies I like to see sometimes.
It's like a good hangover movie. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Because, like, I know whenever I get, like, I just want to watch something, I like to watch a movie and just have it in the background. And if I look up, there's really no major plot points that I have to watch out for.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I loved about it.
Yeah, it's also, I also would put it in the category of it's a good, like, Netflix and watch it. I wasn't going to say Netflix and chill.
It's a Netflix and chill movie.
but yeah, it's a fun movie. I liked it.
Yeah, it's a good campy movie.
Mm-hmm. My number two is, I blanked for a second. Hang on. My number two is The Post.
I didn't see that.
Oh, you would love it. It's fantastic.
I thought The Post was 2018.
It came out for limited engagement in 2017, yeah. That's why it's qualifying for all the Oscars.
Oh, okay.
But the post is, I think we had Gene on the show to talk about the post. I think it was last week, maybe a week before last. And, I still have my issue with the movie is that I wish there was more of the court drama, because the whole movie is about, the Washington Post, and they want, and they get a hand on the Pentagon Papers that exploit the survey.
Oh.
That, you know, basically had, was a survey that basically said, we really should quit. There's no, we're not gaining any traction in this Vietnam War. We really, we've been here for 10 years and we've made like little movement. And of course, the American people are kind of fed, you know, with the lies of, well, we're doing, we're making progress every year, you know, all that. And so the Post, they get a hand on a copy of 4,000 pages of that survey, and they, and it's their, you know, kind of, you know, dilemma of should we post, because Nixon and a federal court judge has threatened to
shut them down.
Shut them down in any other paper that decides to release the paper. So it's, you know, it's a drama, it's a dilemma of, you know, should we, you know, risk our own company and our, you know, employees and our own, you know, our own reputation for this, or should we publish and maintain our and fight for our right to keep publishing, you know, regardless of, you know, regardless of what our political friends think. Because that's the other, you know, kind of subplot of the story as well, is that Meryl Streep's character and Tom Hanks were friends with political figures in, related to the Pentagon Papers. So, so yeah, it's an incredible story about the, what is the, you know, what is the right to publish, the dilemma of risk and what it means, and what it means to publish. And I wish there was more of that courtroom drama, but I still found it amazing, especially with how they handled Katharine Graham, or Meryl Streep's character in the movie. Mm-hmm. It's incredible. It's so female empowering. So
I see it before it gets out of theaters.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
And it moves quickly too. It's good. It's less than 2 hours. And I mean, it moves like lightning.
Okay.
Are
we ready for number one?
Go.
Okay, mine's a toss up.
I'm all for it.
Baby Driver and Kong Skull Island.
So you're a tie, or
those are my two that are my number one. Baby Driver, because it's made in Atlanta and it has good music. And everything was awesome. That's basically my reasoning. It flowed well, I guess, is another way to say it.
Yeah, I forgot to put Baby Driver on this list. If it was on my list, it's currently on Letterboxd, and I'll put a link to that in the description. It would probably be, in the lower teens, towards like number 10 or 11 and 12.
Yeah.
Baby Driver is just a fun movie. It's just a fucking fun movie.
Yeah. I mean, I think Jordan and I went to go see it. I can't remember if we did or not, or if I saw it by myself. But I came out of the theater thinking, wow, I love the story. Like, it was one of my favorite storylines. Like, it wasn't really romanticized like I thought it would be, because I thought it was going to be a rom-com with a bit of action.
Oh, well, I mean, it is, the subplot's a romance, but yeah.
But, like, everything that they, because, what's his name? Ansel
Elgort?
Yeah. I didn't like him in, okay, people are going to really hate me for this. I didn't like him in Fault of Our Stars.
It's okay.
I didn't like Fault of Our Stars, like, at all. I, like, stopped watching halfway through.
Well, to be fair, a lot of people, that movie hasn't held up as much as you would think. Like that
really?
Movie. Yeah.
Oh, okay, good.
Well, I think people are getting tired of teen dramas or teen dramas that are like they're just like they go through extraordinary circumstances. I think Spider-Man gets a pass because it's Spider-Man.
Yeah, and that's a comic book.
Yeah.
It's different when okay, so I like reading romance books. Like not adult romance books, like young adult romance books. And it's like I'm reading this book and I get so attached to the characters, like for example in Hunger Games. I loved Katniss and Peeta.
Yeah.
And then when I saw it in the movies, it was so forced and I hated that. Like yeah. Everything was forced throughout all the movies and like it was Twilight all over again. And even with Twilight, it flowed better than with Hunger Games. I mean, it's just I don't know, that's just how I feel.
It's not an unpopular I wouldn't say it's a hot take, but you're definitely not alone in that camp.
Yeah. But with Kong, Skull Island, I saw it. When did I see it? I saw it on March 14th.
You guys saw this in IMAX, didn't you?
No.
Okay.
We saw it. It was before Jordan and I had gotten together, and we were kind of talking to each other. And
okay,
like there were some parts that like completely freaked me out, like the lizard things,
skull crawlers.
Yes, no, I don't like them. I still don't. But like Tom Hiddleston, my main Loki, love him. The anticipation of more of the monster movies coming up, like at the very end, like the very very end.
What's the group called that's gonna be basically our shield for this? And
Jordan's gonna be so mad at me because I don't know this, but it's like Mothra, the three-headed dragons, and there's one more I know. But they're making like all these monster movies, and we're all super excited, because like when they remade the Godzilla movie, it was done well. And then when they made this new Kong movie, it was done even better. Like, it wasn't one of your typical Kong movies, like the one with Jack Black or like Godzilla, the one that made with Matthew Broderick. It wasn't like those kind of movies.
Yeah.
This is in its own category of style, and I absolutely loved it.
Right. Yeah. Sorry, I'm looking it up. No.
Jordan will know more about this than I do, so.
I know this is embarrassing.
I just not.
Monarch.
Yeah. It's just, it's like the monster movies. Like, we haven't had a good monster movie since the latest Godzilla movie.
Yeah.
That came out, what, 2016?
2014.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah, and the sequel is still like coming out, I think, in 2019, early 2019.
Because I know it's going to be Kong and Godzilla going against each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's the next movie. That's confirmed. And I just want a good monster movie. And I got it with Kong.
Yeah.
Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. I really liked Kong Skull Island. I thought it was a fun adventure, very immersive, very beautiful to look at, and
they had animals and creatures that I would have never thought of,
and it fits with Skull Island.
Yeah, little skull crawlers. Oh my gosh, I hate those.
I still get a little, I still get a little squeamish. Thinking about the Cannibal Holocaust reference, the guy that gets the, bamboo tree down his, throat.
No, it was the spider leg.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
It's an incredible gag, and I'm so shocked that that movie got away with it.
I'm not surprised that they got away with it, because it's like under the circumstances, that's.
Oh, I mean, like from the MPAA and all
Yeah. But overall, like, the storyline was great. Like, they weren't taking too long about getting there. They took time to, like, show that Kong is a human. Like, it can be humanized and, like, is it this gentle creature and only has to be mean when he has to. But then it's like he can also take care of his island and his people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I loved about it. It was like, it's like, how can I explain it? You know, something that you absolutely love and you've had it forever and you want to take care of it. It's like that.
Like a dog or an animal.
Yeah. And you're like, I must protect this precious thing for the sake of my life. That's how he is. Like, he lost his parents, and that was kind of a heart tugger. And you see them in the movie.
Yeah.
Their bones.
Yeah.
And a nice mixture of creepiness and lovingness.
Yeah, it's a solid, it's a really well-made movie. My number one movie also has monsters in it, and it's The Shape of Water.
I want to see that. I cannot find anywhere where there's a theater to go see it.
I think the mall's still showing it.
No.
Oh, it isn't?
I don't think so.
Is it already well, I mean, it'll be back in there because it just got nominated for Best Picture. But yeah, I love The Shape of Water. It's just, it's a beautiful movie about the outsiders of our world. You know, we were going back to Split and how they feel, how the outsiders and how people that are different feel very underrepresented or underprivileged. And this is about the people who can't speak, the people who are undermined or degraded. And this is their story. Yeah, you're right. It's gone.
Yeah, but it's gone for right now.
It's in Atlanta, but
I'm not driving an hour to go see a movie. I'll wait till it comes out.
It'll be back on Friday.
It will be? Okay.
At the Hamilton Mill in Gainesville.
Will you be back on Thursday?
I didn't say if they had Thursday opening, but yeah, it'll be back on Friday.
Okay.
Oh, it's also at the AMC Colonial.
Well, I'll definitely have to look and see.
But anyway, it's just a beautiful movie about the people that are underrepresented and how and every one of them gets a sense of agency at some point in the movie. And also they're battling basically toxic masculinity that's been, you know, that's been breeded and fueled and, you know, maintained over a period of time, you know, and this has been growing for a period of time. And it's just like, and in the form of Michael Shannon, who is just a real cutthroat villain. And it's not a subtle like character. Like he definitely represents the toxic masculinity that we all fear out of, you know, out of each other.
Mm-hmm.
But he just, but Michael Shannon makes that character work so well in quiet scenes where he's just sitting there and you can just tell that he's just thinking about the creature. And then, of course, you know, there's a whole, you know, idea, a kind of very, very subtext of the movie where, you know, because it's taking place in the 50s, Michael Shannon's family is trying to be like that wholesome American picturesque family that's impossible to live up to.
Yeah.
And he's dealing with, you know, and of course he's dealing with that kind of struggle. And it's just an incredibly well-made movie and loving tribute to the 50s movies.
Excuse me.
It's just a well-made, awesome 2-hour movie. And in the midst of it, it's a love story. It's this love story that has a touch of Spielberg in there. It's a beautiful love story between a fish creature and a mute woman.
Yeah. She got a SAG award.
Awesome.
I believe. I think. It was either her or the Ebbing of the Three Billboards in Ebbing, Missouri.
Oh, it was, I think it was her. It was Frances McDormand. Which,
it's just Sally Hawkins. That's her name, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's so pretty. And it's like, she's like an odd pretty. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, she's very, very beautiful. And she's very pretty. It's just, it's not your Victoria's Secret pretty. And that's what I love about her aesthetic. And that's one of the reasons why I want to go see it. I want to see how she interacts. Plus, I also like Octavia Spencer.
And she's great in this movie, too.
She's always great. Hell, Hidden Figures. She does great period pieces.
Yeah, she's incredible in this. Sally Hawkins is incredible. Michael Stuhlbarg is really incredible in the movie. Everyone's incredible. It's a very well made, and the fish like makeup that's on Doug Jones is incredible. And it's a crime that it didn't get nominated for best makeup at the Oscars.
Oh, it didn't?
No, it didn't.
No,
it's a crime.
I love makeup. Like sometimes when I go see a period piece, I look at the people and I stare at them. And sometimes Jordan's like, what are you looking for? I'm like, their makeup. Like, wow, do they do that? And then I go home and I research how they do it and I figure it out on my own. I'm a makeup fanatic. So if you need Halloween people, call me.
Yeah. I would go because you've been a lifesaver on a couple of Jordan's productions when it comes to makeup. You've been a lifesaver.
My favorite's Monsters. I like making people look weird. It takes hours, but it's fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to look up something. But, yeah, it's... Yeah. Yeah, you're really good at it.
Thank you.
So, do we have any other movies that we didn't mention? Do you have any other movies that you didn't mention that you would like to point out?
I will say Logan is good. It's a must-see because it's the last Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
I loved Logan as well.
It was really good. And then, let's see, what else is there? The Greatest Showman that came out in December. That one was really good. Star Wars The Last Jedi. That one was okay. It's good in its own way, knowing that it's Carrie Fisher's last and Mark Hamill's last movie. Spoilers! But,
I think we're past it, though.
I know, it's just, I like to give a heads up. I like The Last Jedi only because my homegirl, Leia, I loved it. I cried. I was so happy the way that they represented her. But Coco was okay. I thought Remember Me was a good song for it.
Yeah.
Let's see what
Coco
else.
Coco was also in my top 20 as well.
Spider-Man.
Yeah, I really like Spider-Man good. Homecoming.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Hilarious.
I love that movie too.
Beauty and the Beast. I forgot about that one.
That one's also really solid.
Get Out.
Yeah, that was high on my list too.
That was really good. And then Hidden Figures that came out last year. La La Land. Did that come out last year or
2016?
Okay. Well, that's all the 2017 movies that I like.
I want to give a shout out to also Star Wars The Last Jedi. You people that didn't really love it. I have to ask, you know, for them, why didn't you love it? Was it because it didn't meet your expectations or did you have legit criticisms? And I've seen it on both sides, but I always like to put that out there because I feel like the movie is a little bit unfairly being scathed. I think it's a bit unfair
I can agree to that.
Hang on just a second. Let me pull up back my list. I would also like to mention The Big Sick. Also, please check out Call Me By Your Name while it's still in theaters. Check out The Florida Project. Whose Streets. Transpotting 2. Logan. Detroit. Get Out, like we mentioned. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. The Batman, Lego Batman Movie, Coco, Disaster Artist, and Colossal. Check those all out. They are incredible. Some other movies I forgot to mention. Check out Blade Runner 2049 and Baby Driver and War for the Planet of the Apes. This was a great year. I think it was just incredibly well done.
Yeah. I mean, of course, every year is going to have its hiccups. Yeah. But everything so far was... well done.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could go back and see the same movies again and be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this was incredible. So very quickly as we try to wrap up here, what did you think? What are you most looking forward to?
Okay, I'm looking forward to all the Marvel movies.
Fair enough.
And I'm looking forward. Mamma Mia 2, Here We Go Again.
Yes.
That is my childhood. 110%.
Here's the thing. It's a guilty pleasure. The first one's a guilty pleasure of mine. And also, every time I watch Pierce Brosnan do the SOS song, it just makes me laugh.
I know.
It's just so funny to see him sing.
I like seeing Meryl Streep and Amanda Seyfried interact. It's like they're actually mother and daughter, and it's crazy. And I'm excited they're adding Cher.
I'm excited
to this movie.
I'm excited they're making Cinderella like the young Meryl Streep.
Yeah,
Lily James. Yeah,
I love that. I think that's a great idea, but. It's coming out in July,
mm-hmm.
So Jordan, guess what you're taking me to see?
Hey, Jordan, it's gonna be all right. It's gonna be okay.
You love me. Just remember that.
It's gonna be good. I promise. It's gonna be great.
He told me he's like, I've been avoiding it. I'm like, you're not with me. There's no avoiding it when it comes to me. I'm like, we're going to see the first one and then we're going to go see the second one.
And look, I realize Mamma Mia is not everyone's cup of tea. And I completely understand why, but I don't know. I guess for you and I, it's just fun to watch.
I saw it at the Fox Theater.
Oh, nice.
And it was before the movie came out. And when the movie came out, I was so happy and so excited. Because I loved the way that they did the music. I loved the way that it looked. I want to go to the island that they filmed it at.
The Greek island?
Yeah. Calamari?
Yeah.
Calicari? Calamari? Calamari is a food. I think it's Calicari. I know it's Cali something. But I want to go to that island. I want to experience, like, the beautiful beaches and the music. And, like, I just want to go. It's, like, one of those places that's on my bucket list.
Yeah. It's an incredibly beautiful island. And I've seen parts of, like, the beautiful stuff in Europe, and it's worth it.
Yeah, because I only went to London, Wales, and Ireland. And most of the time it rained. But when I was in Wales... It's like I was on top of the castle and I saw like nothing but green and blue around me. And it was one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. And now I want to see the summertime.
Yeah.
In Greece.
It would be great. It'll be great.
I'm so excited.
Yeah. Do you have any others?
Not that I can think of, no. That's the one, like, I was in Oklahoma and I found out that Mamma Mia 2 was coming out. Because I knew it was in the works. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know if it was ever confirmed. And that's the only one where I'm like, I can't wait to spend all my money there.
Yeah, I think, yeah, and they rushed it, and they got it pretty quickly going, because I think it didn't really start, I don't think it was announced till like early last year, so they got the project going pretty quickly, so.
Yeah, and they've had everybody come back. Is Meryl Streep coming back? I didn't see her in the trailer.
I want to say she is.
I'm assuming she is, because, I mean, it's not Mamma Mia without Meryl Streep.
We'll see.
I want to hear the Money, Money, Money song again. Money, money, money.
Yeah.
Must be funny.
Mm-hmm.
In a rich man's world.
Yeah. So.
What about you? What are you most excited for, Kale?
I saw the trailer last month for Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Is that the animated one?
Mm-hmm. With Miles Morales in it. Or Miles Morales is the character, the Spider-Man. So I'm so excited for that movie. Other films I'm looking forward to. I'm really looking forward to, of course, all the Marvel movies, particularly Black Panther.
Yeah.
I know we kind of been bashing YA a little bit, but I kind of am interested in seeing what the Maze Runner 3, how that's all going to end.
I never got into the Maze Runner. Like, my class was, like, at my school, it was all Hunger Games. Like, all throughout, like, mm-hmm. 8th grade, and then, like, the first, like, freshman and sophomore year of high school, it was all Hunger Games. And that was all the movies were coming out. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of died down, like, junior year.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I didn't hear about the movie or the book until I was in college. So, yeah, it's odd that they pretty much started, like, I think, back in my sophomore year of college, and they're just now finishing. So, yeah, I'm interested in Death Cure, or I guess Maze Runner Death Cure. I'm also interested in The Incredibles 2.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one. Yeah.
Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in seeing what they do with Han Solo. Despite all my bickering about the production, I'm still fascinated by... I still want to see how the movie turns out. And also, I'm just...
What about Wrinkle in Time?
Oh, yeah, that too. I'm very excited for that.
I'm hesitant.
It
has Oprah. And it's either going to be fabulous and they're going to make another park attraction because of it, or it's going to be... It's another Oprah Winfrey movie.
Well, I mean, she's playing a supporting character in the movie.
I know, but it's Oprah. It's sure. All or nothing.
Sure.
And we, Reese Witherspoon and, I forgot that other actress.
Mindy Cap?
Yeah.
Mindy. Her. From the Mindy Project?
Yeah.
Mindy Show, what? Kapling, I think. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Ready Player One.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that one.
I mean, there's quite a bit. Talking about monster movies, Rampage.
Mm-hmm. Pacific Rim.
Yep.
Jordan's very excited about that. Every time the trailer comes on, I can feel him perk up and actually pay attention. He's like, yeah. I'm like, I haven't seen the first one.
Oh, we should definitely, you know, sit you down on that one.
I am a very sheltered person. I don't watch a lot of stuff because I just haven't. Okay. And Jordan's like, I have a list.
It's okay. We can break you. I mean, you know, show you a lot. We can
just break it into me.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm really excited for a lot of stuff. But yeah, I think 2018 will be another interesting year. I hope it's as good as last year's. And so far we've had a couple good ones. I really like The Commuter and Paddington 2.
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen Insidious 4 or the stuff that came out last weekend. But we will try and discuss those movies, I think, next week. But yeah, I think we're done, Kate.
Awesome. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. This episode did go a little longer than I planned on, but I still had a blast. So I think it was a successful episode.
Yeah. It's always a success. That word with me.
Successful.
I can't talk today.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm. Yeah, it's been a good, very good year.
I can agree. I just can't wait for the coming year. Because
2019?
No, 2018.
Okay. Like, right.
I can't wait for this year to be fully immersed in all the new ideas that directors are coming up with, and writers and producers. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited.
Yeah. And one more question, and then we'll go, because Gina Versa brought it up in the last podcast. What movie do you hope surprises you? For me, it's Venom.
Really? I hope Deadpool surprises me.
You didn't like the first one?
I loved the first one, but I'm afraid they're going to use the same equation, and I don't want to see the same thing.
Fair enough.
Because you know how sometimes when you get those big blockbuster movies? Because it was the same thing with Guardians of the Galaxy 1. And I'm like, oh, so they're making a Volume 2. What if they use the same formula? Which they kind of did, but they added a twist to it. That's what I liked.
Mm-hmm.
So I just hope that Deadpool 2 is bigger and more elaborate than the first one.
I just hope they don't repeat everything over again like Hangover Part 2 did.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the uniqueness of Deadpool was that it was a smaller budgeted, it was a R-rated comedy, and it just had more of a...
It was an R-rated romance comedy.
Yeah. That's with a lot of head decapitations and gore. So I hope with Deadpool 2 we get a different kind of story. You know, I mean, it'd be weird if Deadpool just was like, and now I'm just going to go kill this other guy that destroyed my life.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. I think that's it. Kate, where can the good people find you?
Snapchat, pkate443. That's it.
All right. And you can follow me at Movie Kale, and you can also follow the channel that distributes this podcast at KHC Network, and then you can also follow this podcast at The Youth Critic. I almost said KHC Network again.
I know.
But yeah. Thanks everyone, and we'll be back with you next week.
People who need help with matters that can't be explained come to me. These hauntings can be terrifying things. I should know. I have faced many evils in my life. This was different, though. The haunted house. Is my family's house.